When hearing of some government somewhere banning Twitter within its jurisdiction, it is tempting to emit three hearty cheers. Even, perhaps especially, for those of us who use the platform, it is difficult to argue that Twitter, and social media generally, has been other than a disaster for politics, and therefore humankind, or that its worldwide abolition would not raise the tone of public discourse considerably. In a happier, certainly calmer, parallel universe in which Twitter, Facebook, and others were never invented, there is vastly less space for wreckers, liars, fantasists, grandstanders, sociopaths, and dingbats to create names and audiences and careers for themselves, up to and including one recent president of the United States. Nevertheless, Nigeria's decision to ban Twitter compels any reasonable liberal to clamber reluctantly atop the pertinent barricade and half-heartedly flap a banner, perhaps inscribed, "No Parasan," or whatever, if I must. The fracas between Nigeria and Twitter began last week. Nigeria's president, Muhammadu Buhari, sought to express his vexation with separatist militias at large in the country's southeast, the region whose previous attempt to set up shop in its own right in 1967 led to the hideous Biafran War, in which as many as 2 million people died, many of them Biafran civilians, starved to death by Nigeria's naval blockade of the coastal region.
This tropical heat. The commandos. The commandos cry out, "Watch it, baby, the commandos are coming."
As a younger man, President Buhari served in the Nigerian army during the Biafran conflict, and last Wednesday he stormed onto Twitter to remind the modern generation of Biafran secessionists of this. "Many of those misbehaving today are too young to be aware of the destruction and loss of lives that occurred during the Biafra War," the president thundered. "Those of us in the fields for 30 months who went through the war will treat them in the language they understand." Twitter decided that this extremely thinly veiled threat was a breach of its terms and conditions and removed it, to the considerable displeasure of President Buhari. In short order, Nigeria's government suspended Twitter's operations in the country indefinitely and threatened to arrest any clever clogsers who used VPNs or similar sorcery to transmit their thoughts on the platform regardless. This was followed by Nigeria's media regulator, the National Broadcasting Corporation, instructing all TV and radio stations to delete their Twitter accounts. Nigerian authorities have been keen to spin all this as something other than an eruption of petulant presidential pique. They are taking the straw and camel's back line, alleging, and not without reason, that Twitter has been used to disseminate religious bigotry, racist incitement, and lunatic conspiracy theories to the general detriment.
You know, when you have that kind of power to manage and facilitate the communication of billions of people around the world, it has to come with responsibilities.
But although it is possible in just a few minutes idle scrolling to find someone on Twitter who believes anything, you would struggle to find anyone who believes that Nigeria's government is acting from pure-hearted determination to protect its people from the predations of misinformation. Much likelier is that Nigeria's government has been looking for a while for an excuse to take a swing at Twitter. There was disgruntlement that when Twitter announced in April the site of its first African HQ, they chose Ghana, not Nigeria, though there are more Nigerian Twitter users, nearly 40 million, than there are Ghanaian people. Probably more pertinently, Twitter has been used in Nigeria for online campaigns which have infuriated the government, notably the 2020 hashtag #EndSARS, which turned Nigerian police brutality into an international story.
There are reports at least 20 people have been killed.
It will always be easy to scapegoat social media because until or unless social media companies take more stringent responsibility for what is broadcast on their platforms, or are made to, there will always be the material. One might well prefer that the occupants of high office choose their words more decorously than President Buhari did, but President Buhari would be correct to observe that amid the bile, hate and menace routinely trafficked on Twitter, his remarks were barely remarkable. This move by Nigeria is nonetheless daft. It looks silly and is. It won't work, and any prosecutions for continuing to use Twitter would place Nigeria in poor company for a country which likes to be seen as a leader and a bastion in a region of sporadically confident democracies. However, President Buhari did receive one message of support, though obviously not a Twitter direct message of support, from former US President Donald Trump, who was punted off Twitter shortly before the end of the term. He could not have won without it. Trump's statement was quite the puzzler, even by his standards. He said, "More countries should ban Twitter and Facebook for not allowing free and open speech. All voices should be heard." There is not time in this explainer, or indeed in this week, to delineate all the ways in which this makes no sense whatsoever, but if there were any doubts that President Buhari should move the inevitable grudging climb down forward, this should be an end to them. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Miller.